Welcome to the Dustin Daniels Show. I am your host, and wow, man, it's been crazy over the past 3 months. This is the first show that I've produced since September 1. So did you miss me? Hey, man, I've missed you. I've missed you so much, and I really have some cool news. God, he just continues to blow my world up. And he's given this new, over the past 3 months, well, it's been an accumulation over the past year, really. But over the past 3 months, he's given this new direction for this radio program and the ministry of Seven Places. And part of this new direction includes moving the radio show, check this out, from a weekly broadcast to a daily podcast. So on top of you hearing my voice on a daily basis, you'll also be able to subscribe to my new daily blog. All of this prayerfully starting in January. So that means that the format of the show, it's going to be tweaked just a little bit. And by the way, thank you for your input on all of that. I've listened and I've prayed and I continue to listen to God on all of this. And now as I move forward in trying to create all of this content, I would love for your prayers. I desperately need your prayers in moving forward with all of this. So I've got some more great news coming up at the break, so stay tuned for that. This week's podcast is part one of a talk that I did for a ministry called Young Life, and it was for their high school and college leaders, and it's titled God, Sex, and You. Everybody ready to talk about sex? I want to tell you just a short story about me before I get into the formal lesson. I don't want you guys to think like, oh, this is just another pastor guy telling me what to do about sex. Because I'm fortunately or unfortunately not a normal pastor kind of guy. I was one of those guys that thought I was a Christian up until I was about 31 or 32. I would call myself a Christian, but I certainly was not living a Christian life. At the end of my journey, dealing with lots of pornography and sexual sin in my own life, I found myself in a place that I never thought I would be. So one night, I was in a place I shouldn't have been with a woman who wasn't mine. And all of a sudden, we hear this knock on the door. And I jump up, and I've never been so scared in my life. So I literally run into a closet. And when I run into the closet, I grab my bag, and inside my bag, I've got a loaded 9mm gun. I was having an affair with this woman, and her son comes and knocks on the door. His mom was getting ready to leave her husband and file for divorce because of me. And I was in this closet what seemed like for eternity. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? So what seemed like forever, she finally comes and lets me out of the closet. And she sees this gun in my hand. And she's like, what were you going to do? Are you going to shoot him? So how does someone end up in that situation? Like, that's the stuff you hear about on the news, right? You watch the stuff on the news and you go, what an idiot. Who does that? Exhibit A, right? So how does a little boy, when I was 8 or 9 years old, who finds his father's collection of pornography, 20 years later wind up having an affair, hiding in a closet with a loaded gun in his hand? How does that happen? It happens one step at a time over years and years and years. you probably would have said, you know, what an idiot. Who does that? But if you would have known me, you would have said, well, he's a nice guy. He works hard. He's a good neighbor. There's nothing really wrong. But the reality was that I was, at that point, addicted to pornography for over 20 years of my life. And that's where my journey led me. I certainly didn't plan on becoming an addict. I didn't wake up one day and choose to become one. It happens slow and over time with very, very small decisions over a long period of your life. This session is called God, Sex, and You. And how are you guys dealing with this sexual confusion that we have in our culture today? Does anybody really have any like solid answers? Because everybody's got an opinion on it, right? Everybody's got their own opinion of what is marriage. What is it? What's love and lust and what's sexual sin? And why can't people who love one another, why can't they get married? Who's got the moral authority over this stuff to actually say with 100% confidence, with true truth, that this is the way that you're supposed to do it? Let me give you an example. Time magazine did a cover story on pornography back in April. And what they said, or what the subtitle was, "Why Young Men Who Grew Up With Internet Porn Are Becoming Advocates for Turning It Off." So basically, men under the age of 30 years old have given themselves a medical condition. It's called PIED. You may have heard of ED, erectile dysfunction. But men in their 20s have given themselves something called PIED, porn-induced erectile dysfunction. This means that they can't physically have sex with a woman. That they've literally watched so much pornography that they've changed the brain structure inside the prefrontal cortex of their brain that they cannot be aroused by a real woman. Around the world, people are watching 12 million hours worth of porn every single day. And that's just one website. That's one adult major website. How many adult websites are there? Half the internet. How about 27 million? That's a lot of porn, right? That's 2 billion pages of pornography. Time magazine said that these young men were sounding the alarm to the dangers of porn. But I read the whole article, and my question was, well, what are they sounding the alarm to? What are they sounding the alarm to? Because at the end of the article, they didn't offer any hope. They said, well, join a group and go see a therapist. Go see a psychotherapist if you're addicted to pornography. You know how many different types of psychotherapy there are? Over 1,000. And by the way, and psychotherapy means talk therapy. So you're gonna go pay someone to talk about your porn use. But once again, where does the therapist get his or her answers? What kind of answers do we have as Christians? Do we have a different kind of hope? We've got the written word of God, right? And when you read the word of God, you hear the word of God. And when you hear the word of God, he reveals his will for your life. That's why it's always such a good idea to read God's word over and over, cover to cover, because when you spend time with him, he speaks to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the biblical text. We're going to see what God has to say about sexuality. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to spend about 25 minutes here. And believe it or not, God has a lot to say about sexuality. It's all through scriptures. We're just going to focus very quickly on a very small part of it. God doesn't blush when he talks about this stuff. That's good news. And then we're going to talk about how it affects you. How does this lesson, this teaching, affect you as you guys leave here tomorrow and get into the real world, right? So let me pray for you and then we'll get started.
God does not blush indeed. Before we get into the formal lesson, and I pray for the young leaders there, let's take a quick break. I just wanted to let you know it was such an honor to speak to these Young Life high school and college leaders. There were about 400 of them, and as I looked at their faces, it was just so cool to see them literally lean in as I taught this message. They're just so hungry for God's truth, especially when it comes to sexuality, and we'll continue teaching with that lesson in just a moment. The other big news that I wanted to share with you is that the Ministry of Seven Places has received a $7,500 matching grant from the Mission Increase Foundation. And this means that if you're a new donor to the radio show or the ministry, this month your gift will be doubled. So would you please prayerfully consider supporting this work of the ministry, the radio show, Seven Places. As you can imagine, it's so hard to get people involved because we specialize in something that most people don't even want to talk about, sex and pornography and healthy sexuality. So if we've helped you over the years, would you please prayerfully consider helping us? You can go to sevenplaces.org and click on the donate button. Now, let's get back to that Young Life Leaders lesson.
Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to gather in this room to talk about a subject that the church overall is scared to talk about. The world loves everything pornified, and yet we as the church are terrified of this subject. And I pray, Lord God, that today that our hearts are soft. I pray that our minds are sharp as you reveal the truth of what it is that you want us to learn today. That we will learn to love one another with a greater grace and also remain faithful to your word. Father, please protect these young men and women. Allow us to hear what it is that you want us to hear. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Notice that God changed his wording there. Previously, he was saying things like, let there be light, let the earth do this, let us make. Let us make, it literally means we're going to make man. So right then and there, that's kind of a cue that what God is getting ready to do is different than everything else. And he tells us that human life is created in the image of God. But note here, guys, that although God says that man is created in the image of God, he doesn't really tell us what the image is. The Hebrew word for man is Adam. Adam comes from the Hebrew word for ground, Adama. Adama is this idea of red clay. So God gives us this picture that God himself forms Adam, which means humankind. It's not this guy Adam yet. That God himself takes clay from the Tigris and the Euphrates River, and he molds and he shapes, and it's this idea of a work of an artist. Adam is this idea, it's the representation of the entire human race. It's not a guy named Adam yet. So this verse could literally be read, "Let us make humankind in our image, after our likeness." Genesis 1:27. God created humankind, he created Adam in his own image, in the image of God. He created him or them. So that pronoun could actually be it. You could change that pronoun to it. So God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created it. That would be grammatically correct. Male and female, he created them. So what he's saying is that he created people, both mankind and womankind.
So that's the overview, right? That's like the overview of Genesis 1, meaning like if you didn't read Genesis 2, you would think that he created man and woman at the same time, but that's not the case, right? So turn to Genesis 2, 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. Then the Lord formed the man, Adam, humankind, of dust, and from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man, Adam, humankind, became a living creature. So what happened? God's got this lifeless lump of clay that he fashioned as the work of an artist, and he's lifeless. It's lifeless. And God literally breathes into this lump of clay created from the Tigris and the Euphrates River. Everybody got the picture? Not just breath, but the breath of life, the spirit. So what does God do with this magnificent lump of clay? He brings him alive. Skip down to Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it's not good that Adam should be alone. It's not good that humankind should be alone. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to make a helper fit for him. So notice that this is the first time that God says, all this stuff was very good. But this over here, it's not good that he should be alone. So I'm going to do something about it. Genesis 2:21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, Adam, humankind. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs, and he closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from Adam, humankind, he made into a woman, and he brought her to Adam, humankind. So what just happened? You've got this one being, humankind. You've got Adam. God decides it's not good that this being should be alone. So he literally cracks the being open. Bam. One of the words for rib is Selah in the Hebrew. And it's not just, I used to think like, this is just kind of an outpatient surgery. God just took one clean little rib from Adam and then he made woman. That's not what this means. Selah means it's this idea of your side or side chamber. So God literally cracks Adam open, and from here all the way down here is your side chamber. So God possibly took the entire side of Adam. Not just bone, flesh, and blood. Everybody got the picture? So, boom, it's not just one little piece of Adam, it's almost half of him. So God literally, he built or he fashioned, he made woman. He took his time to create woman. Notice here, guys, that man was made out of dust. Woman was made out of flesh and blood. A little bit more precious materials, wouldn't you say? Matthew Henry says this. He's a commentator on the Bible. He says, she was not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved. At the end of Genesis 2:22, God says, and brought her to the man. He brought her to the man. So what's that mean? It means that Adam was over here, right? There had to be some distance between them if the Lord is going to bring the woman to the man. So you've got Almighty God, who is our Father, and he takes woman, and he literally is bringing her to the man. The man's over there. He's like this. He's watching this happen. What's this look like? It's marriage. It's the first wedding. Adam is over here looking at her, getting ready to receive his bride. This is the first marriage. So what's Adam say? What's Adam's response to this unbelievable gift? Wow, this is at last, read the text, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Notice in your Bible, woman and man are capitalized or in italics, right? Have you ever wondered why? Adam was consistently called Adam or humankind up until now. But something is very, very different about Adam. He was cracked in half. Part of him is gone. He's not the same. Those words are capitalized because he continues to do the job that God gave him to do, and that was to name the animals, to name the beings. So he sees the woman, and he says, the Hebrew word for woman is isha. The Hebrew word for man is ish. So he now continues with his job after he sees his bride and he names her isha. But here's the other interesting thing. He renames himself because she came out of ish. Now, gentlemen, is it possible that Adam, once he looked into the eyes of his bride, that he renames himself because he actually finds out who he is after looking at her? He actually sees his purpose. He sees his manhood. He sees what he's supposed to be doing. Only after he sees his bride. Now, neither one depict the full image of God. So God made Adam in his likeness. But now we've got two. We've got Ish and Isha. Notice here that God didn't make an exact replica of humankind. He made two, male and female. So Ish, the male, he depicts some aspects of the glory of God. And then you've got Isha, the woman, who depicts different aspects. They're not the same characteristics, right? So what God did is he left certain characteristics of God in male, in the male, and then he took out other characteristics to make woman. So what's this tell us? It tells us that man and woman are equal, but we're very, very different. We're equal but different. We complement one another. It's called complementarity. Complementarity. It's this idea of two separate people coming together to have the full image of Almighty God. So let's review real quick. You've got God who takes red clay from the Tigris and the Euphrates River. It's called Adamah. He creates Adam, humankind, from that, which is the representation of the whole entire human race. He cracks Adam wide open. Adam sees this. He names the woman Isha. He renames himself Ish. So what's he do with all of this?
What a great question to end on. What does God do with all of this for this week? I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. As we finish up next week with part two of my message to the Young Life High School and College leaders out of Genesis 1 and 2. If you're new to the radio program, visit DustinDanielsRadio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at PurityPastor. Rate the show on iTunes. I would love if you would do that. You can also listen online, OnePlace.com, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Podomatic. And you can also email me your questions. Thank you to all of you Purity partners that have kept the show on the air, supporting the ministry. And let's remember what 1 Corinthians 4:20 says. The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living and living in God's power.